Please join in singing Hymn 1008, When Our Heart is in a Holy Place, Hymn 1008. Make sure you check out a hymnal so you can sing along with services all year. Check your email newsletter on how to get one. Here's Hymn 1008.
When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when we trust the wisdom in each of us, every color, every creed and kind, and we see our faces in each other's eyes, then our heart is in a holy place. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when we tell our story from deep inside, and we listen with a loving mind, and we hear our voices in each other's words, then our heart is in a holy place. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when we share the silence of sacred space, and the God of our heart stirs within, and we feel the power of each other's faith, then our heart is in a holy place. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place.
Good morning. Our opening words this morning are from a poem entitled The Tree of Knowledge by Leanne McIlroy Langton. I noticed that most of my students were gazing longingly out the window on an unusually beautiful Southern California morning. I paused in my lecture to discover that they were collectively noticing the unusual fruit exploding on the tree just outside our window. "What kind of fruit is that?" they wondered, with more curiosity than they had ever shown for Plato or Rousseau. And so I told them about the pomegranate, how, according to the Quran, it filled the gardens of paradise, how its image had once adorned the temples of Solomon, how it doomed Persephone to Hades, how it symbolizes prosperity and fertility in Hinduism, and how it came here to us, from the Iranian plateaus to Turkey, across the Mediterranean, and transported across the oceans by the Spanish conquistadors. How the city of Kandahar, now bombed and ravaged, was once reputed to have the finest pomegranates in the world. I told them that this was my favorite tree, and then we all went outside for a moment to marvel at this tree, just staring for a moment while the wind blew across our faces, a tender caress across the ages, and then the moment was gone. The next day I walked into class and someone anonymously had placed a single pomegranate on my desk at the front of the class, an altar before 30 students, all newly baptized, the red stain of pomegranate seeds outlining their smiles.
Thank you.
The idea of a question box Sunday is a long-loved tradition within Unitarian Universalism. It is a worship service dedicated to asking the questions, big and small, that we long to have answers to. Some years I try to answer the questions myself. Sometimes I ask you to. And I've even seen some ministers or clergy rely on a magic eight ball. And all of this seems vaguely appropriate within our faith tradition, where the sources of knowledge and revelation are everywhere, all around us. We're always learning and growing, and no one individual has anywhere near all the answers. But this year, and I think you'll agree with me here, the questions emerged long before the annual Question Box Sunday did. Questions such as, what does it mean to live in this time? What world will our children know? How do I stay present and grounded in a world that sometimes doesn't seem so? And the questions just keep coming. How do we create a more just world? What is my role in dismantling institutional racism? How will we care for hundreds of thousands of people being evicted, losing jobs, and going without enough food? The questions continue. When can those essential workers, many of whom have worked without any real time off since March, when will their pressures ease? When will the very real dangers that we face, pandemics, recessions, political strife, when will all of that begin to shift, and how? And will an election happen in November, and will the transition of power be contested? The list goes on. The unknowns are many. And I don't know about you, but I got to this question box Sunday, and I don't want any more questions. I want answers. Years ago, someone I knew coordinated this beautiful ritual, one that seems to offer answers. She collected many jars, many empty jars, bell jars, pickle jars, you name it. Different shapes and sizes, but all clear, all translucent. And beside the empty jars were many long, thin strips of paper, ribbon, and pencils of every color imaginable. She gathered her friends and shared the process. Each person was to write, but only to themselves, on the strips of paper. They were to write what they thought they might need to hear at some point. You are loved. You are worthy. You are safe. You are making a difference in the world. But that was only the beginning. She encouraged us further to write what we most needed to hear as well. It will be okay. You are strong. It's okay to feel scared. And there were ideas too for self-care options. Some wrote on their strips of paper, sit and drink a cup of tea, take a day or an hour off to indulge, make yourself your favorite food. And then when you're all done, close the jar, maybe tie a pretty bow or whatever makes you happy around it. Make it look as you want it to. And then place it somewhere that you'll notice it. And on the hard days when you need something, reassurance, the right words, love, it's right there at your fingertips. Open the jar, reach in, and pull out a strip of paper. Written in your own handwriting will be something that you need to hear. And one of the most beautiful parts of that ritual is that it reminds us of our own softness, our own vulnerability, but also our own strength. And it does so when we need it most and perhaps remember it least. It's a storage jar for what we already know, for some of the answers we already carry within us. So that's the upside down question box Sunday this year, not asking any more hard questions, because the hard questions are here. It's allowing the answers, the ones we already have, to guide us. It's our own tree of knowledge. The guidance that lives inside us, taught and accumulated, instinctual and spiritual, sought for and fought against. Over our years and our decades, life teaches us, guides us, and our own answers begin to emerge. If we listen, if we take the time and the space to notice, and if we trust what we see or hear or know. Years ago, when I was doing environmental work for a career, I often found myself with a team of biologists out in the desert in the bright hot days of the California summer. We were looking for what's known as vernal pools, depressions in the sandy earth where water had gathered during winter and spring. These temporary fleeting bodies of water existed only long enough to sustain new life, for the mating, gestation, and birthing of young turtles, rabbits, foxes, and other desert animals. And then the pools dry up and disappear as though they had never been there. And we weren't by law allowed to look for these pools until summer, lest our wanderings harm young fledglings. So we wandered in the summer heat, looking for pools of water that actually didn't exist by that time of year. And lest I make it sound bad, I loved this work. It meant looking for clues, for signs, for depressions in the sand where water had been. And as we looked and figured out the parameters of the now dried up vernal pools, maps were drawn. Maps which then served to protect those areas from development, to further protect the species that counted on that land and that water which briefly appears at the most needed of times. The answers weren't easy to notice, but they were right there, literally under our feet. Here too. I believe we have the answers, even if we don't always want to hear them. And I believe the answer goes something like this. Something different is required of us. Some change. And we've known that for a long time. We know that survival as a species will require more collective action than we've exhibited in a long while. We know people don't live equally by far. We know that disease and malnutrition and war and poverty needlessly kill millions of people a year around the world. That's some of our truth, and that's the harder part to hear. But it's not all the truth we know, because underneath the surface, we know we're capable of meeting these challenges. We know we're willing to do what it takes for our children and our children's children to survive and thrive. We know that we have to make things more equal, more just. And even in our moments of fear about what that might mean for us personally, we know that we can do this. That jar of reminders, of affirmations, if it were externalized, if it were made manifest, it would look like you, like strong and enduring folk, willing to search for the answers needed to guide us forward, able and willing to do the spiritual work to grow into yet more aware, yet more understanding, yet more depthful versions of ourselves. So may we live into the questions with abandon, knowing that we have the answers that we need. Blessed be.
Please join me in singing hymn 298, Wake Now My Senses. Hymn 298.
Wake now my senses and hear the earth call. Feel the deep power of being in all. Keep with the web of creation your vow, giving, receiving as love. love shows us how. Wake now, my reason, reach out to the new. Join with each pilgrim who quests for the true. Honor the beauty and wisdom of time. Suffer thy limit and praise the sublime. Wake now, compassion, give heed to the cry. Voices of suffering fill the wide sky. Take as your neighbor both stranger and friend, praying and striving their hardship to end.
Our closing words today are by Margaret Wheatley, entitled We Never Know Who We Are. We never know who we are. And this is strange, isn't it? Or what vows we made, or who we knew, or what we hoped for, or where we were, when the world's dreams receded. Until the day just one of us sighs a gentle longing, and we all feel the change, one of us calls a name, and we all know to be there. One of us tells a dream, and we all breathe life into it. One of us asks why, and we all know the answer. It's very strange. We never know who we are. Please join me for our closing song.
The flame of peace and love until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again.